And now for something completely different.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and I've been listening to this guy since the first day he got his own show, and he is now a five-time member of Calling In to Hoppy Hour. On the phone line is Rizzuto from the Rizzuto Show at 105.7 The Point in St. Louis. He is on the show. What's up, bro?
Five times. Holy cow, really?
Yeah, my favorite call was when I was going through a breakup about 6 years ago, and you said, "You deserve better. She sounds like damaged goods." I'll never forget that.
Yeah, so, you've moved on, which is great.
I have moved on. I was just speaking to you off air. I feel very old. I know I'm just 30, and whenever I tell people that are older than me, they roll their eyes. But I cannot believe that Scott Rizzuto has somebody that's in high school in his family. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm literally right now in the pickup line at the local high school waiting for my son to get out so I can take him to hockey practice. And he's going to be taking his driving test next month. So that's another milestone of my life.
It's crazy. Like, it's just weird to think that, like, not that everyone's getting older, but I interviewed Woody a few weeks ago, and he's like, "Well, my daughter graduates in a few years." I'm like, "Graduates? I thought every kid was 9 forever." It's weird.
No, it's funny. Woody and I have our two sons are like 4 weeks apart in age, and our daughters are a year apart. It's nuts.
How often do you speak to Woody? Woody's the type of guy where I talk to him every few years, and then I can talk to him for 90 minutes every few years. You know, like, it's like when I talk to him, it's like I haven't talked to him in a few years. Me and him are just very tight.
Well, we've been buddies for over 20 years. I mean, almost since 99, so almost, yeah, going on 25 years. So Woody will always be a friend. And we talk, every month or so, just catching up. You know, he's my old radio partner,
I know, and what's funny is you've been in St. Louis for such a long time that I would expect you to have a bigger head for how successful you are in a top 25 market. I was talking to somebody in radio about that, like, a lot of times I've seen it, man. I've worked with it where guys get a really big contract. They have a lot of listeners, and then they just completely change as a person. Rizzuto, you are the same person. I tweeted you 10 years ago and said, "Hey, can I get some radio advice?" And you followed me back. You are the same person in 2014 that you are in 2024. You are one of the very few in radio, Woody as well, where you guys don't change.
I appreciate that. And I think maybe the way Woody and I came up, working with certain people, we see the other side of things where people do have big heads and are, the way they treat people. I don't know. I'm not that way. I know Woody's not that way. And I'll speak for him too. Two dudes that have their dream jobs that are dads and husbands and our listeners also, will keep us in check as well. If we ever start getting a big head, our listeners will let us know. Hey, man, keep it in check.
When's there been a moment that the audience had to keep you in check? When was there a moment that Scott Rizzuto was maybe getting a little bit cocky?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't consider myself a cocky person.
Not at all.
At all. Listen, my persona on the air is like, kind of a brash curmudgeon. In reality, I have Larry David tendencies. But I like what I like, and, I get done with my show in the morning. I'm home by like noon, 12:30. I take a nap. And then I'm husband Scott Rizzuto. I'm dad Scott Rizzuto. I'm taking my kids to hockey and cheerleading and, running to the grocery store. My wife just texted me a list of groceries to get,
I've done morning radio on and off. Currently at my radio job, I get up around 7:50. So that's sleeping in for radio. And I work 8:30 to 4:30. But I did morning radio on and off for 9 years. And I may be going back to it at some point. And it's so weird. I don't know if you ever have this, Riz, where because I have ADHD, so when I'm tired, I really feel it. I feel like sometimes people are really energetic in the afternoon around 2 or 3, and you're like, you know, at the grocery line, and you're scanning your items, and a person's really chatty, and I almost feel like telling them, I've been up since 3 a.m., like, I'm very tired. Like, I try not to be a curmudgeon. I'm telling you, there's times, man, that I'm like, my goodness, am I tired.
Of course I have days like that. I've been doing mornings for 15 years now, like doing a morning show. And let me ask you a question. So when you talk to a ton of morning show people, what are their biggest gripes? Like, if a morning show guy were to complain, you know, what have you heard from people like me?
That's a good question. A lot of them talk about the hours, not liking to get up early, PDs. A lot of times if a radio show doesn't do well in a city, it's everybody else's fault. I've interviewed people that ended up losing the jobs, and there's just that certain vibe. I know you haven't been to a morning show boot camp radio conference, but there's a lot of the people on radio that go from job to job, and sometimes I think it just is maybe because radio let them go, and sometimes I think there might be a black cloud around that person, and a lot of times I'll look at somebody like you, Woody, Brother Weeze, people that I know, BJ Shea in Seattle. A lot of times the successful people are the ones that are nice to people and the ones that are in a market forever because they didn't burn a bridge. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I'm trying to think of how to answer what you asked me, but it's just kind of like, it really depends on your energy. I feel like a lot of times people get burnt out. I've seen this before where people like say, oh, I want to quit radio. I hate this job. This sucks. The mornings are bad, whatever. And then they go to get a day job, and then they'll hit me up and be like, I wish I never quit going after my dream.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have friends message me that used to do my podcast, be like, dude, I wish I kept at it like you, but it's like, I can't help you.
Well, this is the kind of job that'll beat you down and frustrate a lot of people. And I get it. You know, we're going through a very interesting time in the industry with, you know, podcasts and, you know, YouTube and trying to, you know, kind of losing a lot of the younger audience. You know, I've just found that, you know, I've got myself into a pretty good situation. You know, I've got a great boss. You know, I've built a great listenership here in this city. And I'm, you know, there's only a few of us left that are in the kind of situation I'm in now. You know, every week we hear about a radio company, you know, with mass layoffs and, you know, DJs and air personalities being laid off, and there's not that many jobs left. And I understand how this could beat you down.
You know what I've noticed though? The people that survive are the ones that put out content. I'm not saying if you do a talk show like you or Woody, I'm not saying if you talk and have content that it's going to save your job. But it seems like the people that are left standing are the ones that are originals, the ones that aren't copycats, and the ones that can provide something. Because, like, people are going to be replaced by AI. People are going to be replaced by podcasting. But the live and local feeling of having, like, a funny show, that can never be replaced. I don't care what AI can bring, because there's a lot of good to AI, unfortunately. But a funny radio show that can relate to a city like St. Louis, that cannot be replaced.
Oh, no. This city here, if you're not local, if you're not talking about the Cardinals or the Blues or, you know, what's going on Highway 64, people here don't care. They love St. Louis, and they want to hear about St. Louis, and they want to know that somebody's here talking about and talking to them, and there's no smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, because I've seen it before. I've seen it where a lot of radio shows will syndicate. Like, even here in Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay is a little similar to St. Louis in the fact that, like, everybody thinks that, like, Tampa Bay has a lot of people that aren't from here. But there's a lot of people that were born and raised in Florida. I've been in Florida for the last 9 years. I'm originally from Chicago, for people that are hearing this for the first time. And live and local radio is very fascinating because some cities don't seem to care as much if a show is syndicated. A lot of it seems to be like middle America, where it might be like a Louisville or something. Like, they might just syndicate Elvis Duran and it works. But a lot of cities, like, it seems like Philly, Chicago, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Detroit, Tampa. Like, those are the cities, maybe Dallas, where A lot of times, Riz, I describe it as like the local celebrity. Like, if you're in L.A., unless you're like a Woody or a Ryan Seacrest, a lot of the radio hosts aren't as famous as they used to be. But like in like a St. Louis, I mean, you're going to be humble when I say this to you, but you and your crew are celebrities in St. Louis. You guys are the Hollywood of St. Louis. The radio I listened to in Chicago, those were the celebrities, because in the Midwest, the people don't know this, Riz. I know you know this because you've been there 18 years, but the Midwest really cares about their local people.
Yeah. I mean, that's not why we do it, for the celebrity aspect of it. It's a job, but here's an example of, so without getting too much into specifics, last year, maybe a year and a half ago, I was approached with an opportunity to have my show go into another market. Okay. And it was a market out west, far enough away where if I talk about St. Louis stuff, they wouldn't care. And if I talked about that market here in St. Louis, they wouldn't care. So, and I thought about it, and I was like, if I start talking about another city, that will definitely cut into my St. Louis stuff.
Yeah.
And St. Louis is my, is my bread and butter. And I would never want to bastardize, the home market just to be put on in another city for what?
Well, also,
maybe I get paid maybe they'll pay me a couple more bucks. But is that worth it to then alienate some of my St. Louis audience?
I wouldn't, Riz. I think you got the perfect situation. I mean, I'll tell you right now, a lot of people from St. Louis will either vacation or they will move to St. Louis. There was a girl, I was going on a few dates with her. We were friends with benefits. Her name was Chloe, and she actually worked with you guys. And everybody speaks so well about you guys. I mean, whenever I talk to girls on dating apps that are from St. Louis and I say I work in radio, 100% of the time, Riz, they go, oh, is your show like the Riz show up here? Every time.
That's funny. Yeah, listen, the whole game has changed. I remember back when I first started. So I first started in radio in 1998. And I've been in St. Louis since 2003. So I'm going on almost, it'll be 21 years in May. Back when I first started, the goal of any show host would be, man, we're going to get syndicated. I remember Opie and Anthony back when I used to listen to them when I was in New York. They had this whole Syndication Now thing. And now I don't think that's the goal anymore. The goal is to do live local radio and do the best you can in the market you're in.
I love Opie and Anthony. They are the reason I'm in radio. But man, there were a lot of flaws to that concept. Like, I just can't believe that they were able to make that work for 20 years, hating each other. I know it wasn't the whole time, but man, I've been in situations, Riz, where I didn't really like the people I worked with. And I know they were making insane money, so they made it work. But that whole show, the whole rise, because you got to remember, I first heard it when it was syndicated in 2006 in Chicago. So I wasn't there for the prime of it like you were in NYC. Yeah. But that uphill climb of them becoming the biggest thing and then crashing and burning is one of the most fascinating things to ever happen in radio.
Man, I was such a huge fan. Like when they first came from Boston and came to WNEW, I was working for K-Rock at the time. Howard Stern was there. And that rivalry between Stern and Opie and Anthony, and we all worked for the same company. And they were brutal, and they were vicious trying to be number one. I mean, Opie and Anthony did afternoons and Stern did mornings, but still though, that rivalry was just, it was fascinating to watch. And I mean, in the periphery, kind of be a part of it. But that was, fun times. And this is before podcasts and this is before, YouTube and stuff like that. So these guys were pretty much the only game in town on the radio, and it was huge. It was just such a huge thing.
What did you think of Don Imus? I'm personally indifferent about the show because I'll listen to old shows online because I like to listen to old radio, and I like a lot of what he does. I think he's pretty good at like bringing the best out of people. But man, there's times I'll listen to old Don Imus or even Howard, and it's like, I don't know how people in the 90s listened to radio shows be so cruel to the people on their own show.
I remember my parents used to listen to, my dad listened to Stern. You know, when I was in the car with my mom in the morning, it would be Imus.
What did you think of Imus?
I don't know. To me, it was just like what my mom listened to. You know, I thought he had some funny bits, and, you know, when I was, you know, as a teenager, you know, listening to him. I don't know. I was more of a Stern guy.
Yeah.
You know, Stern was, you know, naughty. And I used to listen to, like, when I was growing up, it was like Elvis Duran and the Z Morning Zoo, or it would be Stern. And, you know, Imus was in the mix, too. But Imus was always, like, I always thought, like, old people listen to Imus.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like he was old before he was old. I don't know if it was because he quit like partying, so he got more sober. But Howard, I think what makes Howard so brilliant is people talk about like how Steve Dahl, because I interned with him, people talk about how like he was the original shock jock and Don Imus was the original shock jock and all these guys were, and then how Howard copied them. But to me, what makes Howard so brilliant, and I interviewed Scott Farrell on my show last week, and he even said this, was that you never saw Howard partying or getting drunk or doing drugs, that he would show up to events, he would show up with Ronnie, do his thing, and leave. And a lot of people talk about how Howard said awful things, and he was very crude in that. But that man takes his craft very seriously, and he doesn't really need to be high or drunk to be funny. It seems like a lot of people in the 80s or 90s, like Imus and even Dahl, they needed to be all coked up and hyper to be funny. Oh, yeah. And Howard is funny being sober, which is, I think, why he's the longest running show.
Yeah, different times, though, man. That was like the 80s and you know, 90s. That was very prevalent. And even when I first started, you know, I know a lot of, there was a lot of shenanigans going on in the rock radio business.
I just missed out on it. I mean, I worked a lot of events at gentlemen's clubs in my time in rock radio, but I never really saw any of it. I saw it on cruises, for sure, when I would go on cruises with the show I worked on, but cruises are different, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I saw a lot of people become victims of excess, you know, back in those years, and man, I'm sure they wish they could take it back.
Well, also, it seems like a lot of times when you do drugs and then go on air, I feel like you rely on it. So if you get sober, you sort of lose your humor, unfortunately, because it's like that's what kind of made you funny, like right or wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. You're young. You feel you're invincible. You're making some money. People give you things. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say I get it, but I understand how you can kind of fall into that trap.
Riz, I would say you do a pretty family-friendly show while being edgy, but maybe going back to when it was Woody and Rizzuto, or when you did your own shift before doing that morning show, or currently, have you ever faced an FCC fine?
An FCC fine? I know Woody and I, we got into some kind of trouble where somebody did complain, but our company was cool enough to kind of keep us sheltered from it. You know, they're like, we'll take care of this. And I don't really remember what wound up happening. I think they wound up settling somehow. I don't want to say I'm ultra careful right now. I'm aware of certain things that you should and shouldn't say. You know, I'm 45 years old. I don't know how much longer I have doing this. I want to keep this job as long as I can. So in my mind, I always weigh risk reward. You know, is the juice worth the squeeze to go down a road that could potentially get me in trouble? I don't know. It's just the way I think about things. And I don't let that thinking dictate so much my content. But there's a little part in the back of my head about it.
Listen, podcasting is amazing. It's been a great feature for me, but nothing beats being on the radio. And I've seen a lot of big names get canceled and then they do a podcast and then they become obscure. So that's a very smart decision on your hand to not say something that'll get you quote unquote canceled. You know what I mean? Like, you've definitely,
well, there's also a lot of egos. There's a lot of egos that go, well, screw this. If I, you know, I'm going to take my, I don't need this job. I'm just going to go on podcast and my listeners will follow me.
No, they won't.
Nine times out of 10, that doesn't pan out.
Well, because Riz, here's what I'll say. This is what I learned when I left my, FM radio job, because I was there for 7 years and I just kind of got bored. I was on air. I was sneaking on air. I did my show 35 times on air without the PD's approval because the morning show was cool with it at the time. What I'm saying is I thought they were going to listen. I have a lot of listeners, so I do very well, but I don't have the same audience as the show that I worked on. But that's fine, because for people out there that are listening, people that listen to morning radio are probably not going to listen to your podcast because they're listening to morning radio. Like last night, I went on this dude's podcast. He's a local battle rapper that's pretty famous around here, and he's catching a lot of, I don't want to say heat, but he's up and coming. His name's Mosh Jeldon. And I was trying to tell him last night that you're never going to get that audience because they're just trained. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. They're comfortable. Some people don't even turn off the radio when they turn off their car. So the first thing that comes on is 105.7. You know what I'm saying? So there's something beautiful about starting over and building your own thing. But a lot of radio guys just think, oh, they're going to follow me. It's insane how quickly you're forgotten. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's a very humbling thing when you figure that out. I know I'm you know, part of people's morning drive, you know, when they're going to the job they don't love and they, you know, put us on the radio and they enjoy, you know, five people just chatting it up and nothing too serious, you know, ball busting and stuff like that. And we do pretty well podcasting too. We take the show and we cut it up and, you know, podcast as well. But, you know, I always say our bread and butter is, you know, the live on the radio stuff. You know, we also now have, you know, six cameras in the studio. So we're on YouTube as well. And we have a pretty decent following on YouTube.
Is there,
how it's changed, you know, since I started.
Do you miss not having to be on camera?
Do I miss it? I forget sometimes that we're on camera.
And I'll, like, I feel that.
Silly face, or I'll make a silly face or, you know, mouth to somebody to do something and somebody picks it up, or I don't know. I sometimes forget that the cameras are there, and I don't know. Maybe that's good. Maybe because I'm so comfortable. I don't know.
Well, also, you have it set up where people can watch it after the fact. So it's a lot of times like you don't really have a mean audience, but I've seen it before where people will do screenshots. Like,
oh, yeah.
They'll be like, oh, and it's like there's 4 hours to a show and they pick this one little point of somebody, like you're going to look ugly at some point in a 4 hour show. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it with Bubba the Love Sponge's audience. They'll be like, look how hideous this person looked. And it's like a screenshot from like a half a second. I go, we look ugly all the time as humans. If you were to do random screenshots, like I'm sure if you did a screenshot of me talking right now, I'd look goofy as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, listen, I get up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm not going to look good, you know, every day. Now, listen, I have a female in the studio, and she is, you know, and I see it, you know, she's definitely self-conscious. You know, she's like, she's sitting there putting on makeup. I'm like, what are you putting on makeup for? She goes, people judge me. You know, like, I'm on camera, and, you know, 99% of the people are off. And we'll lift you up, but there's that 1% that, you know, they get in a chat room or, you know, they give you a Facebook or Twitter message and you go, man, that cuts deep.
You know what's funny though?
I never really thought, I was like, oh, you're overblowing this. And I see it.
Well, I have dealt with that a lot because Tampa Bay is a love or hate town. And I dealt with that working with Rover. But the thing about it, is it's never a happy person, and usually it's an anonymous account that might just be an egg picture. Like, you have to remember that it's somebody who's probably living in like a messy house that hates their life. And the thing about radio is we're putting ourselves on the line. Like, we're not like frontline workers, like an ambulance driver, or you know what I'm saying? We're not like cops. Like, we're not putting our body on the line, but we're putting ourselves out there talking about a personal life, just putting out entertainment. And it's very easy for people to judge because, like, they're not doing anything with their life. And we're out here, like, you've made it in radio, but you're even still growing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always easier for people to pick on things because they, a lot of times, Riz, I've seen it, dude. I've seen it. It's always somebody who's like a local comedian or a local open artist that does open mics, and they don't have the connections that we might have. And they just hate their life. So they go, oh, learn's ugly, or happy's a weirdo. And it's like, they're just saying that they hate themselves.
We've, we've been doing this long enough where, you know, I totally understand that. But naturally, as human beings, we want everybody to like us, you know, like it's our natural instinct to, I don't want to say people please, but, you know, we want to. Even still, sometimes the comments, they go, "Ooh, damn, man, that cut a little close."
I agree, but as long as they're listening, I don't really care. It's more if, like, the listenership doesn't show up, then you start to get a little nervous. But, like, I just have gotten really good at it, Riz, because I've had so many haters in my life that I'm almost numb to it. Like, when I was 25, dude, 5 years ago, you may have even seen it over the last 10 years on my Twitter feed. I used to battle with people. Like, people were even just attacking me on Twitter. I was sitting in my car, like, getting ready for the interview with you, kind of listening to music, and I saw I got a few mean tweets over something, and I just muted it. The old me would have retweeted it and had some...
You don't need that. Who cares?
That's what I'm saying, Riz, is I've grown up. The old me would have been battling for four tweets, and then I would have been all grumpy with this interview. And I looked at the tweet, and I went, you know what? I got to get ready for this interview with a person I've known for 10 years. Like, it's a little more important, you know?
I really do let that stuff. I don't lose sleep over any of that stuff. And I just, I never find anybody on social media. It's not worth it. I got enough drama in my life. I don't need that. I don't need to fight with some Twitter troll or Facebook troll to, you know, to make myself feel better. I don't care.
Well, because here's what I tell myself all the time. Howard Stern, his Twitter feed is just him tweeting out the latest interview with James Hetfield and maybe promoting whatever Beth is doing with cats. You never, ever, Riz, you never see Howard ever respond to a troll. You see a lot of the unemployed radio guys that made a ton of money back in the day or even are beginning to fail. The people that aren't as successful are the ones that reply all day on Twitter. You don't see the king. Even Imus never tweeted like that. You never see the people that, and you don't do it as well. And Woody does.
I never do it.
Woody does it here and there, but Woody's different about it. Woody's hilarious when he does it because
he does it in a clever way. Not many people could do that either.
Woody's different. I don't know how to describe it. Like, Woody is kind of like old man on the front lawn, but he like tweets every few days. It's not like some people where it's like nothing's worse than, and I think you know who I'm talking about when I say this, because I don't want to say the name. It rhymes with Schmanthony. There's nothing worse than seeing a hero become a full-blown racist on Twitter. And you're like, dude, I listened to you for 15 years, man.
Listen, we're all damaged goods. This is why we're in this business, and some of us can't help help themselves, you know. We can't help ourselves sometimes.
I think that's the perfect way to wrap it up by saying that we're all damaged goods, because that was the advice you gave me. I will never forget it. I had a 45-minute interview with you. Usually each interview is around 30 to 45 minutes. And I remember we were on the phone for like another 50 minutes after the interview. Yeah. And you, I remember where I was. I was in that small little apartment I was living in. And you just told me like, hey, it's damaged goods. And I remember I told Woody that same day about the breakup. And he may have used the word that begins with W to describe people that have a lot of sex. He said, forget that W. And I was like, oh, that's the most Woody response ever.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's we're cut from the same cloth. But yeah, how long ago was that? 6 years ago?
Isn't that gross?
Yeah, a lot has changed since then. So when was the last time I was on the show with you? Was it 6 years ago?
No, it was 2021. I checked. I've had you on like every other year. I had you 2016, 15, 17, 18. And then I don't think I talked to you until 21 and then now. So I listen every day, Riz.
Well, I appreciate that, buddy. I really do. And I follow you on the social medias, and I'm happy to see that you're happy.
I'm very happy. And hopefully, if big things happen, I'll definitely have to meet up with you in St. Louis for a picture. I gotta meet Riz.
I would love for you to swing through, and I'll show you around.
Yeah, that's the plan. First, I gotta get the thing, but it's looking good. And if I do get it, because I do love St. Louis. 10 years ago, my uncle took me on a trip to St. Louis because he was an architect and loved architecture. And as the Chicagoan, I wanted to go to Toronto. I didn't want to go to St. Louis. And the whole ride, we're driving through Springfield and all the cornfields. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. Even though I'm getting a free vacation to St. Louis. And let me tell you, is it Busch? What's the beer company down there, right? Is it Busch?
Anheuser-Busch.
I got a free tour. And because I was working in radio at the time, and I got a whole VIP set up with a bunch of snacks and free beer. And I just turned 21 at that time. And the Fox Sports Bar, that huge megaplex, was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a Chicagoan, I don't like Milwaukee. I don't like Indianapolis. I don't like St. Louis sports, but I love the city of St. Louis. It's a great city, Riz.
Yeah, this is a cool place. There's a lot of stuff to do here.
Well, Riz, I will keep you up to date with everything going on with the potential road trip, and if I do get it. And once again, five-time, you might be the most the person with the most appearances on Hoppy Hour, to be quite honest. Five times, Scott Rizzuto. Five times.
It's an honor, buddy. Let's make it six times soon.
All right. Thank you, Riz.
All right. Talk to you soon, man. Let me know about the job.
I will. What job?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Keep me posted, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Riz. All right. Goodbye.
Yeah. Bye.
And that was Scott Rizzuto as he called into Hoppy Hour. Now, if this is the first time you're hearing my voice, hi, my name's Ryan Hoppy, and I host the Hoppy Hour podcast. I'm assuming if you're hearing my voice that you're listening to me on one of the podcasting platforms, so give it a follow, give it a subscribe, and check it out. I have two versions. I have the version where I interview people on radio, then I have my hyper radio show that I do with my co-host David and Joshua. So check it out.
Hoppy Hour. Happy hour.